Hello, friend. I'm glad you stopped by today. Christmas is drawing close. It's coming upon us quicker than we probably want, but it's going to be here. And it reminds us during this Advent season that Jesus came in a little town of Bethlehem. That star shone brightly. Nobody was really waiting or wanting a Messiah to come, and they didn't know when, just like we don't know the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So be ready. I want to ask you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and as you do, I'm going to say a word of prayer before we step into this word of God. Father, today is an awesome day. It's a glorious day. I know you have great things in store for us. You have had great things in store for us since the beginning of time. When you promised a Savior, and the Savior has come, and He dwelt among us, and He came in the flesh, and He lived, and He died, and He rose again, and He's going to come again, and He's going to judge the living and the dead. So, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit captures our heart and mind today as we hear your precious word, as we talk about the face of Christmas and what it looks like, especially today, the face of faith. Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Hey, friend, have you ever had dreams of the future? I mean, I don't mean like real dreams, but I mean ideas. Ideas of what something would look like. Do you remember that time? Maybe it was so many years ago. Maybe it was sports. I mean, I always wanted to be a professional baseball player. I loved baseball. I could play baseball all day. I just loved it. And I had dreams. I've had aspirations of becoming a professional baseball player. Or maybe you remember back in the day and it was making the choice of which college you were going to. I mean, maybe you had dreams of graduating from a certain illustrious college with a certain major or degree. Maybe, maybe not. Or maybe your dream was you wanted to have your own company. Maybe it's how you're going to climb the corporate ladder and one day you'd become the president of the company and you'd own the company. Or maybe it was your wedding day. I know a lot of women who dream of their wedding day. They have a picture of who will be there and what it'll look like and the decorations and their dress and how it will feel walking down the aisle and seeing their fiancé standing there waiting. See, we've all had expectations of the way we want something to turn out. And the truth be known, there probably isn't anybody that's listening to me right now that hasn't had any of their hopes or their dreams broken, shattered, right? Well, it certainly isn't fun for anyone, but how does a person of faith deal with changes to the plans that we have? Now, we're continuing our little series here on the faces of Christmas today, and today we're going to look into the face of faith as we look at Mary. And we learn how she dealt with some changed expectations and learn how we might better be able to live a life of faith like she did. Now, if you have your Bible open, I want you to come with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to look this morning at the faith that Mary exhibits as we examine the situation of her being visited by the angel that forever changed her plans for her future, as she was told that she'd give birth to Messiah. Follow along with me. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'm going to begin reading with verse 26. It said, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you.' Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. 'Don't be frightened, Mary,' the angel told her, 'for God has decided to bless you. You will become pregnant and have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He'll be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end.' Mary asked the angel, 'But how can I have a baby? I am a virgin.' And the angel replied, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's already in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true. And then the angel left. Okay, so I want to pause right here, and I want us to talk about this. I mean, I think the first thing I want us to see in this passage is that faith accepts altered expectations. Did you hear me? Faith accepts altered expectations. Just like many of us, I'm positive Mary had some expectations of what her future was going to look like. I mean, she's a young lady, probably in her early teens, and she was pledged to be married. Now, I don't doubt that even though this was probably an arranged marriage by her parents and Joseph's parents, that she had some expectations of what the wedding and of the life after the wedding would look like. Every woman does. And then an angel visits her and alters her expectations for what life is going to be like. Being a young teenage girl engaged to be married, you're supposed to be a virgin. In fact, sex outside of marriage is a crime punishable by being stoned to death. Your pregnancy through the Holy Spirit is going to be no easy manner of explanation. Will they want to stone you? See, if things go well, maybe Joseph will only divorce you. And this will bring public disgrace upon your family as well. Your friends will probably turn from you. Life as you know it and expect it to go is forever altered by this news. So, how would you respond? How would you respond to your expectations for life being totally and completely changed and in a way that might bring hardship and suffering, at least for the near future? Would you try to talk God out of it? I mean, would you try to talk to him and let him know the whole situation that from your standpoint, he is obviously unaware of? This plan you have, the one with me burying your child? Yeah. Did you know that I'm a virgin? And this is going to be hard to explain, isn't it? Would you discuss some other options that you think would be a better plan for God? You know, like, you know, I think you might want to consider using someone else. Someone not a virgin, so this child could have a better chance in life. See, it seems foolish knowing what we know now, doesn't it? But don't we do this when God alters our plans? We get the call from the doctor and we find out we have cancer. We go into work and find out that we've been laid off. We're just running to the store and someone runs into our car and they're uninsured. God, what are you doing? Do you need some help with the planning situation here, God? See, I have plans already and they don't include this. How does Mary respond to these altered expectations? These are some, I believe, of the most profound words in all of Scripture when we truly consider what's going on with Mary. She says in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true. Are you kidding me? What kind of faith is this? I mean, this is a faith that accepts altered expectations because she knows the God who is in control. She knows that even if she doesn't understand all of the situation, God does, and God's good. Her expectations for her life are nothing compared to what God has planned for our eternity. I mean, Paul writes that in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. Faith accepts altered expectations, trusting that the Lord is good all the time. But this is the kind of faith that not only accepts altered expectations, but this is a faith that believes without seeing. And that's the second point I want to make to you today. Faith that believes without seeing. See, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, seeing is believing. Well, faith is believing without seeing. Mary believed the angel about what he said about her and what he said about Elizabeth. The angel told her that even Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, despite the fact that she had been barren all of her life, and now she's old and beyond childbearing years. Listen to what Mary does after the angel tells her these things and leaves her. It's in verse 39 through 45. It says, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, you are blessed by God above all other women, and your child is blessed. What an honor this is, that the mother of my Lord should visit me. When you came in and greeted me, my baby jumped for joy, for the instant I heard your voice. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Mary believed that when the Lord had told her something was going to happen, it would be accomplished. She believed that she would bear the Christ child. She believed that the Lord had blessed Elizabeth with a child. She believed these things without seeing. But as some of them were confirmed, like Elizabeth's pregnancy, Mary's faith grew more. God is so good to us. He knows just how weak we are. God helps us in our weakness by confirming some of the things he tells us so that our faith in other matters, those that aren't always confirmable, can grow stronger. God told Mary that she would bear a son who would be the Messiah. That was something that was unconfirmable. But he also gives her something that can be confirmed. Elizabeth was pregnant. Now, while I believe that Mary believed what she was being told, after all, it was an angel speaking to her. Who won't believe an angel? We still need our faith to be supported and grown as we move forward in life, even if it isn't completely confirmable with hard evidence. These are the things we need to continually recall in our minds as we move forward in life. For Mary, God used Elizabeth's pregnancy, the shepherds coming, the wise men coming, not only to honor and glorify Christ, but these were things that helped Mary, and I'm sure Joseph too, grow in faith to help her believe without seeing. Now, one last aspect of faith that we learned through Mary is that faith finds contentment despite circumstances. Let me read to you Luke chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. It said, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all returned to their own towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. And she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the village inn. Now, I'm sure that we all have heard this story many, many times. We hear it every Christmas. But this story isn't only remarkable for what we read, but for what we don't read. We don't read that there was any complaining about the situation. Have you ever been in a position that you're trying to do exactly what God wants and nothing seems to go right? That's so frustrating, isn't it? But imagine Mary and Joseph. They took steps of courage in staying the course when it seemed like there were better options from a worldly point of view. Mary is taking steps of faith and trusting God through all of this. They're just doing what the Lord would have them do. We, from our human standpoint, think that God should smooth things over for them, shouldn't he? Okay, God, they're following you and relying on your strength. Why not just give them a room at one of the inns? I mean, you're in control of everything, aren't you? Yeah, have you ever been there? Have you ever been in the spot where you're trying to live for the Lord and your circumstances are just the absolute pits and they seem to keep getting worse? Not only do they have to deal with the virgin birth situation with some skeptical friends and family, but they have to make this long and arduous journey while Mary's 9 months pregnant. And on top of that, there's no place for them to stay. And now she decides to have the baby. Really? Come on, God. What did they do to deserve this? Well, I want to read for you again the first words of the angel to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. He says, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." And then he says in verse 30, "Don't be frightened, Mary. You have found favor with God." See, we don't normally equate one bad circumstance after another with finding God's favor. I don't know why. Scripture clearly tells us that we're going to face trouble and persecution as we seek to live a godly life. As we look through individual people in Scripture, we find suffering as they follow the Lord. Look at Noah. Noah was a righteous man, the Bible tells us, and he had to spend years building an ark and probably taking ridicule from everyone around him. How about Job? Suffered greatly, lost everything, yet was blameless and upright. How about the prophets, Elijah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Hosea, just to name a few, suffered as they walked in obedience to the Lord. In the New Testament, we see the apostles. They rejoiced in being counted worthy to suffer for the name. How about the apostle Paul? God said in Acts chapter 9, "This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Paul was put in prison, flogged 5 times with 39 lashes, beaten with rods, stoned, shipwrecked, was deprived of sleep, hungry and thirsty and without food, and at times had been cold and naked. And what does he tell us in Philippians? Philippians 4, 11 through 13, he says, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." It is through faith that we receive the Lord's strength to be content in any circumstance so that He might be praised and receive the glory. God's favor is not about good earthly circumstances. God's favor is about close relationship that finds peace and joy and contentment in God's presence, despite the presence of hardship and suffering. Mary faced challenges, but through the power of God's Spirit, through the people that the Lord put in her life to help encourage her and keep her focused, she grew in faith and in her trust of the Lord and received strength to endure, and not only endure, but to have peace and contentment. Maybe you are in a place today where your faith has been challenged due to circumstances. You're following after the Lord and you lose your job. You're striving to glorify the Lord in your role as a husband or wife, and it seems that your marriage is only getting worse. The doctor calls, and the good news is not good. The cancer's back, and it's spread. Friend, today, turn to the Lord in faith. It's because of His birth into this world that we celebrate this time of year, because of the perfect life He lived and because of the sacrificial death and separation from the Father He experienced, that we can live in faith and hope now, even in the midst of hardship, and look forward to that eternity where there will be no pain, no suffering, no hardship, but all things will be new, and we will be in the presence of the Lord forever. That, my friends, is the face of faith.